Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. And our top story today, considering private real estate options for defined contribution multi-asset investment options. And joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, John Epstein is with Dakulta and Yanni Venter is with JP Morgan Asset Management. Yanni, John, so great to have you back. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Yeah, it's always great to see you both. And John, look, we're featuring Dakulta Research again this month. And I want to ask you, let's just kind of build upon what we did last month. We talked a lot about liquidity, liquidity structures. How does this research from Dakulta build upon previous research?
Yep. Thanks again for having me on. The last two Dakulta research papers we were on, I think, last month for the liquidity framework piece, those focus mainly on some of the more common and perceived what I call operational challenges when including different types of illiquid investments in a daily priced and traded 401k environment. This focuses specifically on private real estate.
Yeah, and again, a really important asset class to consider. Yanni, I want to come to you. Why private real estate as a foundation for the multi-asset investment option of the future?
So if you take a step back, Jeff, the inclusion of private real estate in defined contribution multi-asset portfolios is not new. The asset class has been included for over 20 years because the benefits of core real estate that really focus on diversification and stability are important to participants and have the potential to strengthen their retirement outcomes, so create stronger balances at retirement and greater spending power in retirement. And we're seeing the inclusion of the asset class continue to grow. So if we reference the first slide, if you think about the portfolios that participants are accessing, these are institutionally managed, and the investors focus on high-quality assets in major growth markets. What's also important to recognize is that the portfolios have evolved to really reflect the shifts in demand across the property sectors in the U.S. So, for example, if you look at the darker purple shaded bars at the bottom, that represents office and retail allocations within the investable universe. These have reduced more than 50% from their peak in 2016 and 2017. And in contrast, if you look at the third purple shade, the allocation to industrial has increased over 50%. And we're seeing the same trend in residential as the demand for increased housing in the US strengthens. So the takeaway here is that these portfolios reflect forward-looking strategies and demand drivers, and that is what's being reflected up into the participant portfolios. And also, if you go ahead.
I was going to just follow up with that. I don't want to, you can interject your thought in a second. I just want to understand, how is this private real estate different than, for example, a real estate investment trust? Because those have been available in defined contribution plans for quite some time and available to general, you know, retail investors. So how does this differ a little bit than from the traditional REIT?
If you look at private real estate and REIT characteristics, they're complementary in portfolio construction, but they play very different roles. Core private real estate delivers that bricks and mortar benefit, which is the diversification, the downside protection and stability, whereas REITs deliver greater exposure to non-traditional sectors, and they also offer greater liquidity. So they're both included in portfolios and they both play roles to strengthen the participant outcome.
Yeah. Again, you know, very nuanced differences, but important for investors to understand. And John, I just want to bring you back in here for a second. And I just want to ask you, just based on this research, I mean, I suppose that you're getting a lot of questions and inquiries about how this all kind of fits together, hence the rationale for doing this type of research.
Yes, it's on the website, so viewers can certainly go to the Dakulta website. The paper's there, as well as the press release that we had last month. What we're hopefully in the next segment, it's discussed, but we're seeing a lot of traction with private real estate and target date fund families. And the fiduciaries, sponsors, consultants, as well as allocators have a really the ability to cast a much wider net across all the different types of target date fund offerings that allocate to private real estate now. So we also track that as well.
Yeah, really important to check that out. Yanni, back to you. Let's talk about performance, because at the end of the day, it's the performance of the asset class and what it contributes to the portfolio. So what's been the performance of private real estate, I guess, in 2024 and 2023?
I would actually take a step back and say that it's both the performance and the characteristics, Jeff, because when you really need real estate and core real estate specifically is when the rest of a multi-asset portfolio is negative. If you think about core private real estate, it's only been negative in four periods since 1978. So it's that downside protection that adds value during period of market drawdowns. In our slide, we looked at seven periods of market drawdowns. And the takeaway here is the inclusion of core private real estate within a target date fund preserves value for a participant between 1 and 3% at the bottom of each drawdown, which compounds over time and then adds value to the participants. So it's that stability and performance, as well as the characteristics that core real estate delivers in portfolio that benefits the underlying participant.
And Yanni, just to follow up, there's been a lot of talk, at least on financial networks, about the state of the current commercial real estate market. And look, I mean, a lot of us aren't going back into the office as much as we did, so there's some concern there. But are there any concerns currently with the state of that marketplace?
I think real estate is experiencing the same period of repricing that we saw in equities and fixed income in 2022, and that was driven by the speed and the magnitude of the rate hikes. It's playing out slower. It's a private market asset class. I think at the end of the day, the expectation is that we'll start to move into a recovery at some point in the second half of this year. And over the longer term, the benefits that you're looking for from core private real estate are intrinsic to the asset class characteristics. So that will hold throughout the life of a participant.
Yeah. Well, Yanni, John, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the inclusion of private real estate in multi-asset solutions. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're now joined by Clint Carey of Carey Solutions and Hayden Gallery of Cambridge Associates. Hayden, Clint, great to see you both again. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Great to see you too, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Well, Hayden, last month, you know, we discussed the Calta paper and managing liquidity for alternative investments. And I want to ask, is this illiquidity return premium the only benefit for the inclusion of private real estate in a multi-asset solution?
No, because there's a lot of other factors of real estate beyond its illiquidity that makes it a valuable diversifier to the stocks and bonds that are already in target date funds and balance funds that are part of DC plan participants' portfolios already. And some of those aspects, one is the physical nature of real estate. Most of what is in the portfolio is publicly traded, moves around a lot with the equity market. When you look at real estate, I think its valuation is more tied to reality, tied to what the value of the building actually is. You don't get as much correlation with equities, which can be really helpful to participants in terms of diversification. I think a second piece is there's an inherent yield, right? Rents. And a lot of those rents are tied to inflation. And so if you're thinking about a participant that over time, inflation, whether they're in the accumulation phase or the decumulation phase, inflation is important. And having something that fights against inflation is already tied to it can be really helpful. So those are two aspects of real estate that are really not tied to the fact that they're a liquid or an illiquidity premium, but that help offset some of the other assets that participants already have in their portfolios.
And just to follow up before we bring Clint in, Hayden, the Calta research indicates that there's this growing demand among DC plan sponsors for private real estate. And my question to you is why? Why are they adding this asset class to their target date funds?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that they've realized the benefits. A lot of them have seen the benefits in DB plans. They've seen other investors that are broadened and diversified their portfolio, right? So you see there's a lot of experience. And even the people that have done it in DC plans, they've said, hey, this has worked out pretty well for them. And over time, they've said they've become more comfortable with it. And there's more options in the marketplace, right? It's a broadening of options that are out there. There's an ability for plan sponsors to say, hey, we can do this in a way that's thoughtful, whether it's through, I know Clint's going to talk more about some of the ways that it's implemented in DC plans. But I think there's just more options that are out there and they've seen the benefits. And they're saying, you know what, we want to do better for our participants.
Yeah. And there's a vested benefit here, pun intended, Clint. Plan sponsors want greater diversification. You like my joke. I can't wait to hear some of yours. But what about participants? I mean, they want to retire eventually. They want diversification. What are you hearing from that group of constituents?
Well, I think the first thing we have to think about is how have participants benefited from this since its start? As Yanni noted, you know, for 20 plus years, core real estate has been the foundation of these portfolios. And so those participants have really done well. And it went in particular during periods when, you know, the market is under stress. And you might think that when markets are under stress, participants would be leaving, you know, the markets and their target date funds as well. However, research from Alight Solutions has led to us to conclude that actually participants see their target date solution as the way to weather the storm. And in particular, target dates where core real estate has been an important foundation, you know, to those portfolios.
So they're actually changing their behavior when real estate or another asset class like real estate is included in a target date fund. So the behavior in the plan of the participant actually changes. They hang around. They don't go crazy and move to a money market fund or a stable value fund. They kind of ride it out.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's inherent in the idea of a multi-asset strategy like a target date fund. I think it's just reinforced by the fact that the outcome for the target date funds that have core real estate tend to be more consistent in the returns that they deliver, and thus participants don't lose confidence as it relates to that. And yeah. You know, certainly, you know, over the last, say, decade or so, we've seen really strong performance out of the public markets right until we did not. And it's those target date funds that had private real estate that really withstood, you know, those volatile events. Again, the analysis that Yanni did. Yeah. And what's important is we take a bit of a step back around what the ecosystem is that's been developed. So those early adopters really had proven the concept that core real estate could be an important part of these portfolios. And so around that, the industry has developed quite a few solutions so that plans that are looking to add core real estate have a lot of options, you know, as it relates to how to go about doing that. And you can get to those solutions through platform providers, asset managers, record keepers, even independent consultants. And so we have a lot of different ways to get there. So it says slightly differently, it's made a competitive marketplace for folks to kind of come in as it relates to what that ecosystem really looks like.
Well, there's certainly an opportunity there. And I mean, it's really good research. And it, again, continues to make the case about diversification in these targeted solutions. Clint, you know, I can't let you go without asking, what's next? What's on tap for DeCalta Research? What might we get next month? Because, you got to give our audience a little bit of a tease.
Got it. So certainly we've seen the recent announcements around core real estate, large asset managers, targeted fund providers coming in like Fidelity, in addition to the long-term providers in, you know, say JP Morgan or Principal and Pru and all the others in the market. What we're going to be doing in the next month is rotate away from sort of the core content of the portfolios to the platforms that are underpinning the 401k industry. So what are the technologies that have delivered success to 401k plans over the last 10, 20, and 30 years? And how have those innovated to be able to deliver a broader cross-section of alternative investments into DC plans? So everything from platforms or record keepers to, you know, the inclusion of blockchain and valuation platforms and things that really make access to alternatives ready for the retail market, including 401k plans.
Yeah, well, certainly this was great research. We always look forward to our partnership and the research from DeCalta. Hayden, Clint, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
That wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest? Someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRNAM. We'll have a very special guest, another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving. And don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.